The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 7th, 2014, at East of Kailash Temple, New Delhi, in New Delhi, India.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Balakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vita Tams Jiva Sadaita Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadesha Tadine. So, it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam Tasmad Gurum Prapaddecha Jigashu Shraya Uttamam Shabde Pareta Nishnatam Brahmani Upasamashrayam. Any person who is serious about achieving real happiness should seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the spiritual master is that he has realized the conclusions of the Vedic literatures by deliberation, and he is able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. So in this material world, what is our position? We're suffering like anything in this place. This is a hellish place, especially in the Kali Yuga. It's horrible. It's like living in a nightmare, isn't it? So this initiation is a very important thing. Because this initiation and the keeping of the vows, not just initiation, Rupa Goswami says three things are essential for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Take shelter of Guru, get initiated by Guru, and the third one, obey the spiritual master. So initiation is not sufficient. My father was a Christian. He told me, "Well, son, I can do whatever I want because I accepted Jesus. So I'm going to heaven." You see? That means you can get initiated, but you don't have to obey. Here's a tripod sitting over here. Now, how many legs are on that tripod? There's three, right? Now, if there's only two legs on that tripod, what's going to happen? It'll fall over. Only one leg, it'll fall over. So we have our Krishna conscious tripod, you see? Shelter, initiation and obedience. So these initiates should know today, this is just the beginning. Your business is not finished. You don't become a Paramahamsa by sitting here in the initiation ceremony. This is the key which will unlock the door to Goloka Vrindavan, but you have to turn the lock also. You see? And now turning the lock is obedience. Now you're committing yourself to follow the orders of your spiritual master. You see? This following of his instructions is essential. Without the following, your initiation is useless. It's nothing but a piece of garbage if you don't obey the spiritual master. I joined this movement back in 71, and actually 5,000 of us got initiated by Srila Prabhupada. 5,000 initiates. How many do you see around nowadays? Let's see. They didn't obey. So many of them failed to... They got initiated, but they failed to obey the orders of the spiritual master. Therefore, they put themselves in great difficulty. Until they come back to obedience, their spiritual life is checked. So these initiates should know, now I'm committing myself to obey. That's what you're doing. By taking initiation, you're committing yourself to obey the order of your spiritual master. And what are the basic orders? You will take that vow today. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, Japa Mala every day, round the beads. We don't see any Guru Maharajas giving out clickers at the initiation ceremony. They give out beads because that's what Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds round the beads. So these beads have great potency. They're not just some, you know, impotent counter. These beads have potency. There's Shakti in these beads. They're chanted on by the spiritual master who has the blessings of his guru, is his guru. The whole parampara system has actually blessed these chanting beads. And every day you chant on them, they become more empowered with bhakti shakti. So these beads are a very special part of your spiritual life. I still have my beads that Prabhupada has chanted on. I still have them. They're my greatest treasure. I still have those beads. I keep them very, very carefully, especially when I'm traveling. Very, very carefully. I guard them and protect them. They never get lost, you see. So this initiation is a very important thing. And you're making the vow to chant. But I ask you this. Is chanting 16 rounds and following the principles enough? No. You have to, because Prabhupada said you can go on chanting for millions of lifetimes, and if you're committing nama parad, you won't get liberated. So you are not only chanting, but you're also working to get free of the offenses against the name, the nama parads. This is very essential. Prabhupada wanted this always be presented at the initiation ceremony. What are the offenses against the name? The first of them, and the granddaddy of them all, is to be offensive towards devotees. You say, well, what's the big deal? You know, I have my guru, I have Krishna, I have the name. You know, who cares if I'm a little rough with the devotees? Why should it really matter? But you know what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Adi Purana? Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta state janaha, mad bhakchanam chi ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. He's not my devotee. Wow. Krishna, why are you saying that? The one who's my devotee is my devotee. What's my hope? Here's Krishna's point. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. Now that's one reason you're getting initiated. You're becoming the devotee of your Guru Maharaj. That is essential. But it's not. Doesn't stop there, as I explained in the Bhagavatam class a few minutes ago. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayama. The lotus feet of Guru is worshipable, and the lotus feet of Vaishnavas is worshipable. So we have to always be respectful to all of the devotees according to their position. Those who are senior, we respect in one way. Those who are equal, we respect in one way. Those who are junior, we respect in another way. But we're always respectful to every single Vaishnava. In this way, we avoid committing the first offense to be offensive towards Vaishnava. The second offense is to consider the chanting of the names of the demigods to be the same. Well, what's the difference? Hare Krishna, Durga Durga, Shiva Shiva. No. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the origin of all the gods. We respect the names of the demigods, but we understand, according to the scriptures, that they are subordinate to Krishna. It's not our invention. We don't say this because we're the Krishna sect, so we put forward Krishna as the Supreme. It's not like that. See, there's the Shivites, there's the Krishnites. You see, we don't say Krishna is the Supreme because we're Krishnites. We don't, that's not. No, the scriptures actually confirm him. The scriptures confirm. We just chanted the Brahma Samhita prayers. Chiram jata divikara, chiram jata divikara, vishvesha yoga, sanjayate nahitata pritagasta yeto, yashambutam apita sastam vapaitikarya govindam adipurusham damaham bhajami. Just as milk is transformed into yogurt by the action of acids, but the effect yogurt is neither the same as nor different from its cause milk, so I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu, Lord Shiva, is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So Shiva is actually a transformation of Krishna. Just like you can take milk and get yogurt out of it, from Krishna, Shiva is extracted for the purpose of destruction. So we have to understand Krishna is actually the Supreme, not because we're the Krishnites and we put our leader as the... No. We follow Krishna as the Supreme because that is the conclusion of the Vedic scriptures. I didn't know anything about Indian culture. I was a Christian, but I was convinced to follow Krishna on the authority of the Vedic wisdom. You see. So that's the second offense. The third offense is to just disobey the order of the spiritual master. As I was pointing out, now you have to obey. That's how you would make advancement. To the degree of your being obedient to your spiritual master, to that degree you're making progress in spiritual life. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. All transcendental literatures must be respected. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of the holy name to be imaginary. That we say that, you know, by chanting Hare Krishna one time purely, you can destroy more sins, you can commit from millions of kalpas. Is that an exaggeration? No. But it depends on the purity of one's chanting. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name. The Sanskrit scholars are very fond of this. Krishna means black. Black is ignorance. Therefore, Krishna is ignorance. You see. I studied Sanskrit at the university one semester. It was enough to get out of there as quick as I could. The professor said, the Vedas are mythology. Just see these rascals. So we don't take the interpretation of the word Krishna from the Sanskrit scholars, the mundane Sanskrit scholars. You see. Their understanding is covered by illusion. They're called mayaya paritta jnana. Those whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Well, you know, I really wanted to get drunk last night, but I'm chanting some extra rounds this morning to make up for it. No. You can't sin and expect to neutralize it by chanting, you see. Don't make a business out of this mantra that I can commit sin and chant some extra rounds. It's like one devotee I know, she was having illicit sex outside of procreation, but they're a little chanting to purify it. No, it doesn't work. You follow the regulative principles. So, let's see, that brings us to the ninth offense, which is to instruct the faithless persons about the glories of the holy name. One might think, well, You know, I don't feel like preaching anyway. I'm kind of a Bhajanandi type, so this is great. You're not supposed to preach to the faithless. It doesn't say don't preach to the faithless. It says don't preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. You don't go up and say Krishna and his name are the same to a complete, to an atheist, you see. First of all, you defeat his atheism. You have to bring them to the point of receptivity. You have to teach them according to their level. Just like if you're a math teacher, would you go to the first graders in the elementary school and teach them calculus? They'd be bored of the poor little kids' minds. They wouldn't understand what he's talking about. You teach them 1 + 1 = 2. So for preaching work, we are meant to preach to everyone. That is the order of Lord Chaitanya. So you have to preach to everyone according to their level of understanding. Don't jump them to some high level. That's what this ninth offense means. Don't jump them artificially to some high level. Give them according to their level of understanding. Just like I was wearing tilak in the grocery store. I went to the checkout counter and the checker said, "What's that on your forehead?" And I said, "This is the sign of someone who has conquered over death. And if you like, I can teach you how to conquer over death," you see. So you have to preach according to the level that they're on. They won't commit any blasphemy. In the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names, even after understanding tons of instructions on this matter. And it's also offensive to be spaced out while you're chanting, to be inattentive, you see. There are different ways of being inattentive. We must avoid those different ways of being inattentive. One is called radar japa. Just like the airport, they have that thing that spins around, you know. Radar japa is like, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Ram. But checking out the scene while you're chanting your japa, you see. Another call is jabber japa. Hare Krishna, how's it going, Prabhu? Ram, Ram. How's the wife? Ram, Ram. How's the dog? Krishna, Krishna, Hare. Like, you know, talking and trying to chant you around at the same time. Don't do jabber japa. There's also dive bomber japa. In World War II, you see, the bombers would fly high so they wouldn't be shot down by the anti-aircraft gun. And when they drop their bomb, they would come down and drop the bomb and go up again. So that's called dive bomber. Hare Krishna, dive bomber japa. We have to fight against that one, especially if you didn't get much rest the night before. You see. To fight against it, to stand up or somehow sit straight, dive bomber japa is not good. So we have to avoid these different types of inattentive japas. There's many types of inattentive japas. The real key is, if you have to remember, this is Krishna himself. If Krishna came to your house, would you let him in and would you give him your full attention? Well, he's coming every day to your house or to your ashram, wherever you are. Krishna is personally coming. How are you receiving him? Neglectfully or with full attention? Wow, Krishna has come to my house. Let me treat him. Oh, Krishna has come. Krishna has come to my house. I'm unfortunately unlimitedly blessed. I mean to say, unlimitedly blessed. Let me receive him with the greatest respect, the greatest attention, the greatest loving service. In this way, you should understand Krishna has come in the form of his name and chant Hare Krishna in this mood, you see. So if you avoid these offenses and you will obey your spiritual master, who is not inventing anything, he's simply a messenger boy for Prabhupada. He's simply wanting to see that you will follow Prabhupada strictly. He was trained how to strictly follow Srila Prabhupada, and he wants to train you to do the same thing. That's all. You see, the fourth item of the bhakti path is the spiritual master engages you in following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. He's not a standalone entity. He's simply a humble servant of his spiritual master. He's simply engaging you in following his spiritual master's program. That's all. So if you will take this very seriously, as I'm explaining it to you now here today, then your deathlessness has begun right now. You have entered into immortality from this very moment. And if you will stick with these instructions, your immortality will remain. And you, at the end of this lifetime, you'll go to sleep and you'll wake up with Krishna. So we thank you very much, and now we'll proceed with the initiation ceremony. Hare Krishna. First, I'm calling Ankit, Bhakta Ankit. So, Bhakta Ankit, how many rounds of japa will you chant every day?
At least 16 rounds on japa mala.
Very,
Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Very good. And what are the four regulative principles?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, that is sex except procreation, no intoxication, and no gambling.
Very good. So your name is Ananda Vardhana Das. So Ananda Vardhana means Krishna, the increaser of transcendental bliss. Ananda Vardhana, increasing bliss. So now you have to become ever increasingly blissful. Next. So Bhakti Sunil, how many rounds of japa do you chant every day?
Minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra and japa.
Very good. And what are the four regulative principles?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling.
Very good. Your name is Smita Krishna Das. Smiling Krishna. You're the servant of smiling Krishna. So you have to always be smiling. So, Bhakta Muli Dharan, how many rounds of japa will you chant every day?
16 rounds.
At least how many?
16.
16, okay. And what are the four related principles?
No meat eating. No gambling. No intoxication.
And?
No illicit sex.
Okay, very good. So, Bhakta Muli Dharan, your name is Murli Manohar. He who steals the mind with his flute. Krishna's flute playing is so enchanting that his murli is so enchanting that he is Manohar, the stealer of the mind. So Krishna's flute steals the minds, therefore he is called Murli Manohar. So, Bhakta Rahul, how many rounds of japa will you chant every day?
At least 16
rounds. Very good. And what are the four legative principles?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex.
Very good. So your name is Vasika Krishna Das. Krishna, the enjoyer of transcendental mellows, you're his servant. So, Bhakta Vikram, how many rounds of japa will you chant every day?
16 rounds minimum.
Very good. And what are the four regulative principles?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling.
Very good. So, your name is Vidura Das. Vidura is one of the 12 great Mahajanas, because Yamaraj is one of the 12 great Mahajanas, but he appears as Vidura to engage in preaching work. So you have to become a great preacher. Hare Krishna. Next, Bhaktan Bhumija. Okay, so Bhaktan Somya, how many rounds of japa do you chant every day?
16 rounds.
And what are the four regular principles?
No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication.
Very good. So your name is Sachi Priya Devi Dasi. So Sachi Priya means one who is dear to Mother Sachi. So who is most dear to Mother Sachi? That's Lord Chaitanya. So you are the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Sachi Priya Devi Dasi. Okay, the next will be Bhaktan Gayatri. So, Bhaktan Gayatri, how many rounds of japa do you chant every day?
At least 16 rounds.
Very good. And what are the four regulated principles that you will avoid? Very good. So, your name is Gaura Lila Devi Dasi. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, you're a servant of his transcendental pastimes. That means you have to qualify yourself to enter into his transcendental pastime. Next will be Bhaktan Puja. So, Bhaktan Puja, how many rounds of japa will you chant every day? At least 16. And what are the four regulated principles?
No intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, and no illicit sex.
Very good. So, your name is Para Bhakti Devi Dasi. Para Bhakti means, Prabhupada says, it means spontaneous love of God. So, now we are doing sadhana bhakti, but by sadhana bhakti, gradually one comes to the stage of para bhakti. So you must come to the stage of para bhakti as soon as possible to live up to your name. Next will be Bhaktan Kavita. So, Bhaktan Kavita, how many rounds of japa do you chant every day? And what are the four regular principles? Very good. So your name is Krishna Priya Devi Dasi. One who is very dear to Krishna. That name applies to Radharani and to all the devotees. So you're the servant of Radharani and all the devotees. Okay. Now, Bhaktan Malini. So, Bhaktan Malini, how many rounds of japa do you chant every day? Very good. And how many, what are the four regulative principles?
No illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling, and no intoxication.
Very good. So your name is Govinda Mohini Devi Das. Govinda Mohini means the one who mystifies Govinda. That's Radharani. So now you must serve Radharani very nicely. So now all the initiates have your names, you have your deeds, now you make your lives perfect by following these wonderful program given by Prabhupada, following the instructions of Guru and Krishna, Hare Krishna.